דבר בני ישראל לאמור. אישו כי סזריע וילדו זכור, ותומו שיבס יומים, כי מי נידס דבויסות איתמו. So if a woman gives birth, she has to keep the laws of Nido. And the Torah says, Ki Mei, like the days that a Nido has to keep the laws. In other words, it's as if the Torah is saying like an afterthought. A woman has to keep 7 days Nido. If a woman gives birth to a boy, she also has to keep as if she would be a Nido. It's odd that the Torah should put it this way, because the Torah could put it the other way too. A Nido has to keep 7 days, like a woman who gives birth. I mean, why would the Torah consider the law of Nido to precede? You see, if I tell you do something, right? Do this because of this. Do A because of B. So what precedes what? If I say, do A like you do B. So obviously you are saying that B precedes A. Otherwise, how can I tell you do A as you do B? So what does it mean? Do keep the 7 days of Tumo like you keep the 7 days of Nido. And then in Posuk He, V'imne Kevose Leid, and if it's a girl, V'tomo Shvu'ayim, Ken Nidoso. Again, the basis of comparison is Nido, and it says, and this is 2 weeks of Nidos. But before we go into it, let's say the first Rashi here, Isho Kisazria, Omar Rav Simloi, Keshem Shi Yitzirosoi Shel Odo, Achar, called Behem Ochayu Bo'o, the same way the man was created, after all animals and all birds, B'maise Breishis, in the first 6 days of creation, Kach Toirosoi Nisparsho, Achar Torah's Behem Ochayu Bo'o, the same way his laws are explained after the laws of the animals. What is Rashi trying to answer by quoting this Chazal? If you pay attention to chapter 11 of last week's Parsha, you will see that the subject is what animals are kosher, what animals aren't kosher, what birds are kosher, and how is an animal not kosher? I mean, how does it become tomei? So the laws of tume, of the animals, caused by animals, are mentioned in Parsha Shmini. After we go through the laws of tume by animals, by birds, and by reptiles, we say, and a human being can also become tomei. How is a human being tomei? If a woman gives birth, she's also tomei. So this, on the surface, seems disrespectful to human beings. Why the laws, their Torah, is mentioned at the end of the Torah of Chayo Ve'oif, of Beim Chayo Ve'oif. On this, Rashi answers, Omar Rab Simloi says that the reason why they are mentioned last is because they were created last. Now, the question, of course, is why was man created last? And also, what is the connection? Why all of a sudden connect concerning these laws? The laws of Tumas Yoledes, why concerning this particular subject do we bring out the idea of the fact that man was created last? It says like this. The Gemara says like this. Imura says, if a person is worthy, then we tell him, you see, you were created last because you were the most important one. Like as an example, if you have, when you invite a very important guest, you don't invite the guest into your house first and then go out and buy food for him and prepare the table. First you prepare everything, and then when everything is ready, then you invite the guest into the house. That is an act of respect, of honor to the guest. this is the way God acted towards us. He prepared the table, He prepared the universe, prepared the world before, and then when everything was ready, He brought us into the ready, the set table. Okay? But what about if a person is unworthy? Then we tell him, Itosh Kodomcho, which means even a small insect was created before you. Why do you think you are so great? Even a small insect was created before you. Which means the following. You know that usually we consider first the most honorable position. First. Rosh Chodesh is the first day of the month, not the last day of the month. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the year. Right? Nisan is the first month. However, Shabbos is the last day of the week. It's not the first, it's the last day of the week. Right? 6 days, the first day of the week, Yom Echod. Right? It's Sunday. Sunday is the first day. Shabbos is the last day of the week. What's the idea behind it? The idea, of course, is... I give the following example. You see, let's go back to the example of the man, the guest. Let's say you have a delivery boy coming with all the groceries from the store, right? You need groceries to prepare food. So the delivery boy is coming and your guest is coming. Who should come first? So if there is no relation between the grocery boy and the guest, of course you should build the guest first. The grocery boy has nothing to do with the guest. But if the reason you need the grocery boy is in order to prepare the food for the guest, then it's part of the respect for the guest that the grocery boy should come in first. Right? Which means like this. If the world is beneficial for us, if we know how to use it, then it's fitting that we should come last, that the world should be created and everything should be ready before we come into the world. But that is only if we know how to benefit ourselves from this world of ours. What about if the world doesn't benefit us at all? We become corrupted by the world. It doesn't benefit us at all. If so, then the comparison becomes like the grocery boy, that the food that he's bringing has nothing to do with the guest. So if the guest is brought in after the delivery boy, it's an insult to the guest. Here, that's the idea that the Gemara says. If we are worthy, then in retrospect it comes out that the world was created for us. So the fact that we were created last is an act of honoring us. God was honoring us by creating us first. But if retroactively we become unworthy of the world God created for us, if so, everything that God created has nothing to do with us because it wasn't beneficial for us. It wasn't a table set for us because we didn't know how to use it. If so, what comes out that we were created last? Okay? So, the idea, of course, is to remember that the world was created for the sake of man, but this is only if man knows how to use it. Okay? So now, that's the idea here. Tazria is Torah ho'odom, tumo v'taro, caused by a human being. That, the Torah ho'odom, if you follow the Torah, then retroactively, the fact that we were created last is an act of giving us honor. This is why it's specifically at the time of birth, right? That's the time when a person comes into the world, right? Remember, we asked why specifically concerning the laws of birth do we bring out the idea of first and last? We come into this world, right? The world is ready for us. Right. The world is ready for us. We don't have to go and start thinking, what are we going to eat? And then all of a sudden we have to come up with the idea, hey, you know what? We can grind the wheat and make bread out of it. We don't have to do it. It's already prepared before, right? That's meaning at the time of birth is a new creation of man. This is why it's very fitting that the idea of remembering that the world was created for the sake of man should be during this period of the creation of men, when man is born. This is what Rashi answers. And that is a position of honor, it's last, because everything leads to it. Shabbos is last. because the rest of the week is supposed to be just for the sake of Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos. This is why Shabbos is last. Usually the position of honor is the first, except where everything works towards the goal, then the goal is last. That is the idea of man. Man becomes the goal of creation if he follows the Torahs. Achar Torahs, this is Torosoi, the Torah of man. And what is the law? The law is that Ishoki Sazria Violdo Zohor, he becomes Tomei like Anido. It says in the Meforshim that as a rule we only find Tumo on things related to death. Tumo is always related to death, which means like this. a human being leaves this world. That vacuum that's created by life going away from this world, that vacuum is filled with some essence that we don't know how to describe. It's some kind of a negative essence. And that essence is called tumo. And that essence causes us to have certain restrictions. We can go into the Beis Hamikdash, for instance, and many other restrictions. That's the law of tumo. So tumo is related with life going away and leaving a certain vacuum and the filling of the vacuum with tumah. For instance, a Jew who dies creates more tumah than a Gentile who dies. Right? According to the Gemara, there is no tumas oihel by a goy. According to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, according to one opinion, the tumas oihel, the tumah that's created by being in the, under the same roof with a dead body, only exists by a Jew and not by a Gentile. In other words, there is more of a tumah by a Jew than by a Gentile. Or, for instance, the law of being tumah for 7 days and needing the sprinkling of the por of the ashes of the poradumo. Remember the process of purifying tumah. That's only when you become tumah through a Jew. A Gentile doesn't create that much tumah. Why? Why? Why is it that a Jew has more tumah than a Gentile? How can there be such a thing? Because since the potential of the Jew is greater, since the life that he had in this world had a potential of fulfilling the Tariag Mitzvahs, the 613 commandments, therefore when it leaves this world, the void, the vacuum that's created, it's much more intense. This is why the Tumah is greater. This is what the Meforshim say. The Tumah is some kind of a state that's caused by the void created by the lack of life, and that tumor causes certain restrictions. The problem is nido. Why is a woman who has her period, why is she tome? She wasn't in contact with anything that relates to death. Why is she tome? Say the Meforshim, it's not so at all. What causes the period by a woman? It's only when an egg is not fertilized that causes the period. What is an egg? The potential to life. By the fact that the egg wasn't fertilized, that causes a certain vacuum, a certain void that's filled with tumah. This is why anida is tumah. That's what the Meforshim say. Again, remember, the idea of tumah has nothing to do the way people think that it's some kind of a punishment. It's nothing to do with punishment. It's just a state that's created by the absence of the positive side of life. That absence exists even by a nido because her egg hasn't been fertilized. But now the question is, how can it be that a woman who did get pregnant and she does have a child, why should she be tomei? She actually fulfilled that potential of hers. Right? That's the question. So it says in the Meforshim the following. The woman was given a capacity that a man wasn't given. The capacity to carry life from within. Men can only create life from without, from outside. Only a woman can carry life within herself. And that experience of a life carrying a life is so great that when the experience ceases, in other words, when the woman gives birth, that void that's created from within her, that void causes tumah also. Again, remember, if we would think in terms of punishment, then it doesn't make any sense. But it's not a punishment. It's the fact that actually that life has got out of her, which is great. That's what she wants. Yes, of course, but there is a certain void within her, and that void is filled with tumah that has to be removed in 7 days. Okay? That's what... Yeah.
So then a lady goes through menopause should also be tumah. Because she can't even, a woman who goes to menopause and doesn't even have seed anymore can't get pregnant. So
right, but of course, it's only a state that you went through and now ceases, or a potential that she almost had and now she doesn't. Right?
She lost her potential, though. She can't have children.
Yeah.
So fine, so the last time she loses her potential, she's tummy. And if she doesn't go to the mikveh, she's tummy for the rest of her life, by the way. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, a woman is stomach if for the rest of their life. Meaning a woman during her menopause, after her menopause, is still tamei. She's still a nida forever and ever, unless she goes to the mikveh.
One question. This vacuum that is caused by life disappearing, that is then filled up with tumah. Where does the tumah come from? Is it that the tumah is in the world and it just concentrates in this place, or that is it created in you?
Remember, I always say the Maharal, where does Ra come from? Did God create it? So he says, no, God created Tov. What? The what?
When he bore Choshech.
Exactly. Did God create Choshech? It's an incredible thing, but the Maharal says, no, he didn't create Choshech. Right? He created light. Choshech is there because the moment you create light, automatically there is a creation of its opposite. Otherwise, if it doesn't have an opposite, nothing can have an essence without the potential of an opposite. Meaning, there can be light without a state of non-light. So the moment Hashem created light, the state of non-light was created automatically. When Hashem said Tov, He gave Tov to the world, automatically a state of non-Tov has to exist. That's where Ra comes into the world. Yeah, exactly. You know the original version. Does anybody know the original version where the statement Yotzer or Bore Choshech comes from?
Yeah, from
Keshet. No. From? No, it's in Shishayo. Yotzer or Uvore Ra. We don't want to say it, so we changed it. We say Yotzer or Uvore Choshech, which fits into the statement. But we read the original statement that the Tanakh, look it up, Shishayo, is Yotzer or Uvore Ra. Right? And the question is, Borei Ra, God created evil. How can God create evil? So the commentaries say, what is the difference between Yetziro and Brio? Right? There are two expressions here. Yetziro and Brio. Yotzer or Borei Ra, or Hosha, the way we have it. Right? Yetziro, do you know the word Yetziro, where it comes from? Like Tzayar, Yetzira. You know what Tzayar is? A painter, it's a Tzayar, right? Meaning, the Tzayar is the one that puts the shape into something, the Tzuro, right? Berio is an existent without Tzuro, which means it's an existent that exists, but it's not like a direct result of God's actions. It's an indirect result of God's actions. Yotzer or Vorei Choshech, or in the original version, Vorei Ra, right? Because Or is Tov and Choshech is Ra, right? Is exactly, that's Pshat according to the Maral. Yetzira is something which is direct, right? Beriyah is something that exists due to God's actions, but it's not God shaping it. It's there, but God didn't shape it. That's Berio. Okay?
But it's there because God wants it to be there. So
of course God wants it to be, but there is a difference between something that God does directly, right? It's even in Chazal. If you take a look in the Midrash, it says, and it says like this, and God called Esho Or Yoim, Vayikra Elohim Lo Or Yoim, Velachoshech Koro Lailo, says the Midrash. By Choshech, it doesn't say Elohim. Koro, he, but it doesn't say Elohim, because it's indirect. So there is such a thing as a direct creation, that's Yetziro, and there is an indirect creation that's called Berio, meaning it's there because it has to be. But it's not something that God shapes. The only, what God shapes is Yetziro, Vayotzer, right?
You can't shape absence.
What do you mean?
How can you form absence?
In other words, it's there.
There's a consequence.
As a consequence. Exactly. That's called Bria. Exactly. That's called Bria.
So what do we call Bereshis Bria?
Bria is everything that exists. Everything. Toyu Vovoyu is also Bria. But it's not Tzuro. Here. Bereshis Borei Elokim is Hashomayim Vesoretz Vorets Oiso Soyu Vovoyu. That's Bria. Soyu Vovoyu is Bria. It's not Yetziro. Right? Here. You won't find the word Yetziro except when there is a direct shaping of something. Toyu Vovoyu, that chaos, can be Yetziro. It has to be Brio. Okay? Don't forget, according to many commentaries, that Breshis Bor Elokim is that mixture of light and darkness without any shape. That has to be Brio. That can be Yetziro. Understand? Okay, now, why is it that when a woman gives birth to a girl, she keeps 2 weeks of tumah? What's the idea behind it? Now, the Torah itself, I mean, in the Gemara says an answer. But we will see what the nature of that answer is. If you take a look here in Posuk Gimel, Ubayom Hashmini, and in the eighth day, Yimol Besaro Losoy, you fulfill the mitzvah of circumcision. The eighth day you fulfill the mitzvah of circumcision. It's not the place for the law here, right? The mitzvah of circumcision we know long before. What does it have to do with the tumah of the woman? It just happens to be that 7 days she's tumah, and on the eighth day, you fulfill the mitzvah of milah. The Gemara in Nido Lamed Aleph makes the connection between Posuk Gimel and Posuk Bet by saying like this. Listen to this Posuk, to this Gemara. Mipnei ma omro toiro milo lishmoino? Why did the Torah say that Milo is on the eighth day? Kedei shelo yu kulom smechim. What happens in a Brit Milah? Everybody's happy. But if the parents have to be separated from each other, if she's in a state of nida, the ovi ve'imo yatsa, they should be sad. So the Torah says, let them be together. Let the men and the women be together. So it sounds as if the Torah, the Gemara is saying that the psukim go together. You know why a woman has, if she has a boy, she only has to keep 1 week of tumah, and if she has a girl, 2 weeks, because it's not fair that by the eighth day she should still be tameh, because everybody's happy, the whole spirit is of happiness on the eighth day. How does it fit that the men and the woman shouldn't be happy because they have to keep separated from each other? Okay? This is the way it sounds. Of course, you have to understand a general rule. Whenever we find reasons for mitzvahs, that's a reason for a mitzvah, right? It's telling you, you know why a woman only has to keep 7 days of tumah when she has a boy? Because she has to be happy on the eighth day by the Brit Milah. Whenever you find such a thing that the Gemara gives a reason for a mitzvah, it's not telling you that this is the basis for the mitzvah. It's called in Hebrew ta'amei ha-mitzvot. You know, the word ta'am has a double meaning in Hebrew. It means a reason, and it also means taste. In order to point out a very important parallel, I give the example of the apple. The apple, let's say, is good for you. It has certain minerals and vitamins that are good for you. The taste, is the taste good for you? So you'll say it's ridiculous. I mean, taste is neither good nor bad for me. The taste doesn't add anything to me. All the taste does is that it makes it easier for us to eat it. Because if an apple wouldn't taste good, who would ever bother eating it? So God, in His great mercy, made the apple tasty in order that we should eat the right thing. Right? In other words, taste is not something essential to food, but it's something secondary that's added by nature in order for us to digest it easier. So what will be if for some reason an apple won't have a good taste, or if we have us, we are sick and we don't, our taste buds aren't working? Does that mean that the apple tastes any, that the apple is any worse for us? It's still as healthy as it was before. It just has no taste. What did human beings do? They make the taste essential. That's why we make junk foods, right? Why? Because we become corrupted by the taste and we start eating food that only has taste and nothing else. Right? That's the corruption of the process of nature. Hashem gave us taste in order to make it easier for us to eat the right foods. What do? We forgot about the minerals and the vitamins and we eat just things for the taste. The same thing is with mitzvos. Mitzvos have secondary advantages. Secondary advantages, those are the tastes of the mitzvos. Like someone said, Shabbos has secondary advantages. The family sticks together, everybody's happy, everybody's in a good mood. You lose all your tensions that you built up for the, in the rest of the week. You forget about your business. You're happy. Shabbos is a very good day, Shabbos. It's good for your mental health. So someone will say, now I know why God gave the Sabbath. Because we have to be mentally healthy. That's ridiculous. That's not why God gave the Shabbos. God gave the Shabbos because the Jewish soul needs the Shabbos. That it's a secondary advantage that by keeping Shabbos, we are also happier and less tense and less nervous and less anxious, and we unite our families. That's true, but it's a secondary advantage. That's a ta'am. That's a taste. It's not the essence. It's ta'amei ha-mitzvos. That we have to remember. That there is such a thing as ta'amei ha-mitzvos. Taste added to mitzvos that are not essential. But it's there to make it easier for us to digest it. What did many Jews do? They take the ta'am and they forget about the mitzvah. Right? For instance, Shabbos. What's the ta'am of Shabbos is onik Shabbos, the pleasure of Shabbos. Right? And I give the example. What about somebody has a choice? He's stuck at an airport, right? A minute before the Sabbath. All he has to do is take a taxi to the city. It'll take him a half hour. He gets to the city, he'll have a very pleasurable Shabbos. Or he can stay at the airport and have a miserable Shabbos. He has no food, he can't do anything, right? He'll be bored. 25 hours of pure boredom and hunger, right? Or take a cab, take a taxi for a half hour, you'll have a wonderful Shabbos. What should he do? So if the taste of the mitzvah would be the essence of the mitzvah, what would you say? Let him take a cab and go to the city. He'll have 24 and a half hours of beautiful Shabbos. But since the essence of Torah has nothing to do with the taste, what does Torah command you? It's a miserable Shabbos. It's better a miserable Shabbos in keeping the laws of Shabbos than a very pleasurable Shabbos that it goes against the laws of Shabbos. In other words, the Torah clearly tells you that the taste of the mitzvah is secondary to the mitzvah. It's not the essence of the mitzvah. Okay? So, this is the way we have to understand here too. When Chazal say that the reason why the Torah tells us that a woman has to keep 1 week of tumah by a boy is because she should be happy on the eighth day, is a ta'am mitzvah. It's an added advantage of the law. But it can't be the essence of the law that the Torah says, okay, keep only 1 week because I want you to be happy. That's just, it's a secondary advantage. So what is the essence of it? So it says like this. We said, if you remember, that the reason why a woman becomes stomach when she gives birth is because life has gone out of her. Right? She was carrying life within her, and now life has gone out of her. The life became independent of her. That experience within her creates a void, and it's something, it's like a lack of life that she's experiencing now is filled with tumah, with tumah. That tumah has to be gotten rid of. But what about when a woman is carrying a girl? A girl is not only life, but the girl she's carrying is also a carrier of life. Right? Therefore, it's fitting when a woman is pregnant with a girl and she gives birth. What does she have within her when she's pregnant? Not only life. She has a life that gives life. So when that life that gives life goes out of her, so what is the vacuum? The void, double of the boy. This is why the tumah is double. Okay? This is what it says in the Mefarshim, why the Torah by a girl says, Shvu'ayim kenidoso, even though anido is 7 days. Yes, because anido is just life, that the potential of life wasn't used. Here, there is a void, there is a vacuum created by the disappearance of a double life, a girl. And a girl not only is alive, but it's a life that gives life. This is how the Torah points it out, by saying that her state of tumo is 2 weeks. Now, the Maharal says that this connection between the number 7 days she's tomei, and 8 days, that's the day of the milo, the 8th day. This connection is a very important connection because it shows you the connection between the number 7 and the number 8. According to the Maharal, the number 7 is always connected with Teva, with nature. The world was created in 7 days. Everything physical is related with number 7. Cycles, right? Natural cycles are always related with number 7. The number 7 relates to nature, the cycles of nature, right? We find the 7 years, the 7 days of the week, the 7 years, the 7 times 7. Now, the number 8 always relates with lemalo miderech hateva. If 7 is teva, 1 above 7 is lemalo miderech hateva. 1 beyond nature, which is above nature. Which means that the number 8 relates with something that doesn't follow the laws of nature. How is Bris Milo related to the number 8? Says the Maharal. What is Bris Milo? The Bris, the pact between Hashem and Avraham Avinu. A pact requires 2 sides, a commitment from 2 sides. We know what the commitment from Avraham Avinu's side was. The commitment was that I will follow the ways of God and transfer it to my children, that they should transfer it to their children. That's the commitment of Avraham Avinu. What is the commitment of Hashem? There is one problem with Avram's commitment. His power to carry out the commitment is very limited. What guarantee does he have that he will have great-great-grandchildren, right? What guarantee does he have? What Hashem did was to guarantee that as long as there are human beings in the world, there will be Jews in the world. Meaning the Jews were guaranteed continuity. How do we show in our bodies the guaranteed physical continuation of the Jewish people? Bris Milo. This is why it's in the reproductive organ. Because the reproductive organ is the symbol of the future. Right? The Jews always have a future. There is never a danger that the Jews will disappear. It's always only a question of how many Jews will exist. But there will always be Jews. We are never afraid of Jews disappearing. We have a guarantee. Now, that guarantee goes against the laws of nature. History also has laws. There are laws of history. The survival of the Jews do not fit into any law of history. It goes beyond the laws of history. Since Bris Milo represents this guaranteed survival of the Jew against all odds, this is why it has to be Yom Hashmini. It goes beyond Sheva. It goes beyond 7. It goes 1 beyond 7. It's lemalo midera chateva. The survival of the Jews is lemalo midera chateva. That's what the Maharal says. Now, we have to understand one thing. The Maharal in another place talks about the fact that tumo is a state that should never, it shouldn't have been part of the of human experience. Why? Tumor comes into the world when death comes into the world, as we said. Right? Tumor comes into the world when death comes into the world. When does death come into the world for men? After the Chet Odom Horishon. Why? Odom Horishon, Kodem HaChet, it says, was essentially a neshomo. He was essentially spiritual with physical characteristics, but he was essentially a spiritual man. Odom Horishon Le'achar HaChet is a physical man with certain spiritual characteristics. But Le'achar HaChet, it becomes possible for a human being to live 100 years and deny that he has a soul. How can it be such a thing? Because that awareness of his spiritual characteristics has to be developed. It's not natural within men. It's something that has to be developed. Why? Because essentially he becomes a physical man. Before, he was a spiritual man. Because he was essentially a spiritual man, he had a tremendous attachment to Hashem. And he was like, we can call it, he was plugged in with one of the middos of Hashem. One of the middos of Hashem is Netzach, eternity. This is why, before the Chet, man was in a state of eternity, not because of his physical nature, because his physical nature was secondary to his spiritual nature. It's only after man broke away from God, when man created the barrier between himself and God by making his own decisions against the will of God, at that moment, that barrier makes him become basically a physical man, right? And his spirituality becomes secondary. At this moment, when he becomes a physical man, he becomes dependent of the physical laws. At that moment, he becomes mortal, because he becomes dependent on the physical laws. This is why, when a person dies, his relatives have to keep 7 days of mourning. Why 7 days? It's in order to remind us that it's part of the natural cycle. 7 days, the number seven again. Right? Meaning, it shouldn't be that way, but we became part of this natural cycle. Ideally, we should have been able to break away from the seven, right? And attach ourselves to Hashem to the point that we would derive Netzach, eternity, from the middle of Hashem of Netzach.
So why are there 7 days of Shofar?
What do you mean, why 7 days?
Yeah.
It's a natural process.
Wasn't that under the original plan also? That there should be a...
sure. But originally, there was no gap. You see, the point is like this. The relationship between Odom and Chavo as one, right? That would mean there would be no separation, no gaps, no barriers between men and women. Which means like this, before the Chet, there are no gaps, there are no barriers. The fact that the men, you know, according to the Gemara, the Balei Kabbalah talk about a man and a woman being part of the original Odom. Meaning when Hashem creates Odom originally, it wasn't a male Odom, as everybody thinks to mean, right? That it was a male Odom, and then Hashem took out a rib. That's what everybody seems to think. According to the Gemara, it doesn't mean that at all. The original Odom is a bisexual being that was separated, right? The word tselo, that usually is translated as a rib, also means a side. Tselo means a side. One side was made female, and one side was made into a male. So originally, that separation was created in order for them to unite again. Because you can't experience unity unless you experience separation. Okay? Now, the unity should be something natural between men and women. Right? The reason why it became, like the Gemara calls it, Kikriyas Yamsuf, it became very difficult to join the Zivugim. Why? Because of the barrier that was created between men and women because of the sin. You see, when did the distrust between men and women start? When Chavo ate from the Eitz Hadas, and she caused Adam to eat also. At that moment, a barrier was created between men and women. Meaning, the barrier between men and women that has to be overcome in this world is part of the corruption of men. It's not the ideal state of men. In the ideal state of men, there should be a natural recognition between the zivugim. You know the concept of zivug, that perfect pairing. Okay? Which means that the simcha, that the happiness of getting married, which is, oh, I finally found my zivug, it's overcoming the flaw of nature. You understand what I mean? I mean, the simcha of the zivug is overcoming the flow of nature. It's not the natural state. In the natural state, there can't be any barrier. You automatically would recognize your other half. In a perfect world, there would be a natural recognition of the other side. It's so, okay? Always, wherever you find seven, it means a recognition of the cycle of nature. Yeah.
So when the story of the rib, or like you said, the side, is mentioned, that only means that another aspect of this, I don't know, creature.
You know, is that united creature is separated into two creatures that are there in order to experience unity. It says in the Torah, I separate them in order that they should unite. So what do you have to separate them for? Because without separating them, the unity wouldn't be experienced. You can only experience, as we spoke about, you can only experience something by experiencing the opposite. Right? You can only experience freedom by experiencing slavery. You can only experience unity by experiencing separation. So Hashem separated them in order that they should experience unity.
You mentioned that they were one being.
They were one being before. So they didn't experience the oneness. Because unless you experience its opposite, you don't experience the state you are in.
But I don't understand. The separation was supposed to occur after the chet.
No. The separation was before the chet. In order to separate them, they should experience the unity, and that's it. Without the separation, there would be no experience of unity. Right? Loi toi ve'yoiso odom levadoi. That's the words used in the Torah. There is no experience of Tov. In order for you to experience Tov, you can't be one. You have to separate and unite in order to experience the Tov. Right? So that was it. So what was the state of Adam and Chavo Kodem Achet? Separation. Recognition that we belong with each other. V'hoyu lebosor echod. Right? The experiencing of the oneness. And that's it. That was the experience. The barrier was created by Chavo. She created the barrier, right? And what was Adam Orishan's justification why he listened to Chavo? What do you mean? She's my other half. What else should I do? Right? Which is the right justification, because she is my other half. Except that he didn't recognize that when she fooled him, because when she caused him to eat the Eitz Hadas at that moment, the barrier was already in existence. Because when did she cause him to sin? After she ate from the Eitz Hadas. Meaning, she wouldn't have been able to fool him. Your right hand can't fool your left hand. Right? Meaning, Chavo can't fool Adam except when she eats from the Eitz Hadas.
So what did the barrier consist of?
What?
What was the barrier?
Barrier consists of that from now on, I live my own life and I'm out for myself and you are out for yourself. That did not exist, Koidem Achet. That concept of I'm out for yourself, that's why Adam Orishan didn't hesitate of eating from the Eitz Hadas, because he wasn't aware of the Chet. So when Chavo gives him the fruit, did he say, I don't want to, maybe not? It's not shy to say maybe not. Your other half tells you to eat it, so of course you're going to eat it, right? Your hand gives it to the mouth, so the mouth will argue with your hand, no, I don't want it. I mean, it's one.
If the barrier was with her, how could he recognize the barrier?
So that we consider a flaw of his. He should have recognized the barrier. In other words, he should have recognized that there is already a barrier, and he should have not eaten anyway. That's flaw. I mean, we can. So Hashem says, yes, you are at fault. But what did Adam Orishan say? What do you mean? You gave me my other half, so I shouldn't listen to her. It's not possible. That's his justification. Okay, we'll step here.